Well, good morning, everyone. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever just sat down at a meal like dinner, and then the phone rings? It's a salesperson or someone else trying to convince you of something that you must just want, or something that you must buy or gotta have. One of my most annoying calls of this nature was when a person called me, and the person calling said they were responding to a registration form that I had filled out for a weekend at their resort. And I politely, for the moment, said, "We didn't fill out any drawing registration form for your resort." And I said that we are on the no-call registry and please don't call back. And he says, "Well, I won't call back anymore if you'll stop filling out the registration forms." I was tempted to lose niceness. I heard a comedian once say that when he gets calls like that, he asks the salesperson for their home phone number so he can call them back. And they said, "Well, we're not allowed to give our home phone number." He says, "Now you know how I feel." So, of course, we should be polite and be a witness to the Lord at all times as we can. And we do have ways to screen those kinds of things today. But the point is that we are bombarded by voices to get us to do something, buy something, or go a certain direction in life all the time. Sometimes voices that can be confusing to us when we're listening. And we can get so many that when the phone rings, our reaction might be, "Who's calling?" Well, in our readings today, we can be assured of some things are certain. There is someone who calls. And when we can answer, he is there. That is Jesus Christ. We can know without a doubt who Jesus is. We can know without a doubt the reality of his presence in our lives. And by his Spirit, he does call on us. Jesus reveals this assurance through what we know as the seven I am statements that we read about in the Gospel of John. And these are the statements that Jesus said: "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And I am the way, the truth, and the life." In our gospel reading today, we read about the fourth I am statement: "I am the door." Now, why is that important? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament. Remember last week I mentioned that the Old Testament always points to Jesus. So let's go back to a moment that Moses had with the Lord. God's calling Moses to a mountain. He's calling him and to give him a personal invitation into ministry. Moses had a call on his life. And he gives Moses instructions on what he wants him to do. And Moses has all kinds of reservations about his own ability, but God assures him that he will be there with him to walk him through this. And Moses says, "Okay, but who do I tell them is sending me? What is your name?" And God said this: "I am who I am. Say to the people, I am sent you." That is all that Moses has to go on, but it is enough. Throughout the Old Testament, God is known by a series of descriptions of who he is. We've all heard Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rapha. All those are descriptions or adjectives of who God is. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our healer. That's how God is explained in the Old Testament. Now, fast forward to our gospel. Jesus, in a series of teachings, says to those around him, "I am." Jesus' first statement is a response to some dialogue about wanting a sign. They wanted a sign from God so they can believe what he is saying is true. And they reference manna from heaven that God gave to people again in the desert. And Jesus said, "I am the bread and the life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And here's one of the most forthright statements made by Jesus in who exactly he is. He says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In other words, he is the sign. He is the miracle. He is the source. And he also reveals the will of the Father. A lot of times we want to know, what's God's will? Well, here it is. Right after he made that statement of I am the bread, he says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. The will of the Father is that all who come to him will have eternal life. That is what this is all about. That is why we do what we do. And all the other I am statements that Jesus made points to that, even the one we read today. They help carry us on this journey that we are on. They are descriptive of who Jesus is, God incarnate, and what he came to do. Today we heard, I am the door. Now, why did he say this? Well, just prior to this statement, he had an episode with the blind man being healed. We read about that a few weeks ago. Remember the sermon I gave on the blind spots? Sure you do. Yeah, you remember that. Okay, that's a good answer. The sermon that I gave on the blind spots. Jesus heals this man. And the Pharisees are disturbed, and they bring the man before them. Then they bring the parents before them. And the end result is that they cast this poor guy out of the synagogue because he was healed. And Jesus went to him, and the man born blind worshiped him. And the Pharisees tried to rob this man of his blessing when they are the ones that were really blind. And they are the ones that Jesus spoke about when he said, the one who tries to climb in the sheep pen another way instead of the door is the thief and the robber. And he uses this beautiful explanation of the sheep in getting his point across. You see, the shepherd was with the flock at all times. The shepherd would die for the flock to protect them and keep them out of danger. He gave each sheep a name, and the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd. I read a story the other day that came right out of World War I. Apparently, some Turkish soldiers were trying to steal a flock of sheep from a hillside outside of Jerusalem. And the shepherd was sleeping, but woke up when all the ruckus of the sheep started to leave. And he couldn't force them because he's one against all these soldiers. But he could do something. He started calling the sheep. And the sheep immediately started to turn around and come back to the shepherd's voice. Sheep are very bright, although they can be easily distracted and at times get lost. And when we see images and hear stories like that, we can easily see the image that Jesus is talking about when he compares himself as a shepherd to his sheep. We have a picture of the sheep gathered together in the pen, and we know what he is talking about when he refers to those who try to cross over as thieves and robbers. We understand that he, Jesus, is the gate. Entrance to the fold and to the pasture is through him. You see, God entered the sheepfold of man in the person of Jesus Christ. He came to lead and to guide us. He said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. He brings protection and new life. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were robbing the sheep of the pasture and eternal life. When they threw that poor guy out of the synagogue, Jesus steps in and says, welcome into my fold. Now, what does it say to us today? First, it tells us we need to be attentive to the voice of God. We need to listen because there are a lot of voices out there. So we have to listen. This is not new, but it's important. We pray. We hear through his Spirit. God isn't just out there somewhere. He's here. His Spirit is or can be within us. Isn't it exciting that God is alive and he wants to work in and through us? Not by anything we can do, but by our willingness to be led. Doing whatever he leads us to do. And we get that direction through prayer. It is our communication with the Lord. He does talk to us. We have to learn to hear his voice. It's like listening to your spouse on the phone. Now, any one of us can pick up the phone and call our spouse or anyone else that's close to us. And we only have to say three words. It's the universal greeting of someone you're close to. Hey, it's me. That's all we have to say. Hey, it's me. And you immediately know who it is on the other side. Any of our four kids or our talking grandkids can say, hey, Dad, or hey, Poppy, it's me. Excuse me, Florida Poppy. I'm Florida Poppy. It's me. And I know who it is. Why? Because you know the voice of the ones close to you. Now, if I were to call Debbie on the phone, I go, hey, it's me. Yeah, she might be freaked out. I hope she's freaked out. It's the same with God. It may not be audible, but you know on the inside. Because if you have asked Christ into your heart, he's there. Someone posted a blog the other day that I happened to read. And this particular blogger wrote, and it's the title of his blog, Christianity is not about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that got my attention really quick. His premise was that it's all about being part of the body, but it's not personal. I thought, how sad that one professing to be a Christian could feel that way. He's missing so much. When he put it that way, he made it sound like we were part of a club or just have similar thoughts or similar goals as we gather together. Yes, we do enter into the body of Christ. That is a fact. But each of us comes into this relationship on a personal level, individually, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We know Jesus personally, and he knows us personally by name. He said so. We can go to him in prayer, personally and corporately. And the more we pray, the more we listen, the better we will hear his voice. And of course, God also speaks to us through his word. And we've covered this over the last few weeks in detail. I'm not going to go too detail into it, but scripture is how God chose to reveal himself to us through the ages. It's so unique. There's no other document like it. Just look at the psalm we read today, Psalm 23. Here is what we have as the most memorized, the most read, and one of the most comforting psalms ever written. We read it at funerals. We read it in times of trouble. We read it because of the wonderful message that it has. It speaks to us. It spoke to David when he wrote it. Again, a beautiful image of a sheep and the shepherd. That's not a mistake, nor is it coincidence. David, who was once a shepherd in the line of Jesus, is seeking God's heart, found himself being hounded by his enemies, and he writes a psalm of such comfort. Again, this is personal, and it is on a personal level to all who read it. The psalm is divided into three parts. Part one, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me through the trials of life. He keeps me on track. And part two, the Lord is my protector. No matter what lies ahead, he's going to protect me, and that protection comes from his leading me. And finally, we are anointed as his own forever. We are his. What a hope that we have in him. What a promise he gives us. And that's just from one psalm. There's 149 more. Read all about it. When you look up our readings today from Acts and 1 Peter, you see this wonderful transformation taking place. People were coming to Christ in droves. Why? They were hearing the voice of the Lord that Peter was revealing to them. Peter said, "You were once like sheep running astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd." In other words, you have heard his voice. You see, people's hearts don't just change without something on the inside taking place, especially by the masses like we saw in Acts. Remember last week we saw 3,000 people come to the Lord just from Peter getting up and opening his mouth? The Holy Spirit was moving. And praise God, he's still talking today. And he needs us to still listen today. He needs us to follow. He needs us to carry out his call right here in this moment that we're living in. There is a shepherd who is calling each of us into a course of action. Let us be attentive to the voice of the Lord. The other night at our Tuesday night prayer meeting, I closed the night with what the Lord had opened at the time, as the time I opened us with prayer together. We opened with prayer and I went and sat down, and it was just like I had this sense to read Psalm 29. Now, I don't know all the Psalms by heart. I don't know anybody who does. I'm sure maybe somebody's tried that. So I opened it up, and there was David lamenting about the voice of the Lord. I thought, wow, how cool is that? I just did my sermon on Monday like I normally do. I put it together at least, and it's about the voice of the Lord. And now I open Psalm 29 on Tuesday night, and there it is. 7 times Jesus says, the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is upon the water. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord splits the cedar of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord strips the forest. In other words, his voice is over all creation. His voice cries out and can be heard. Do we even realize just how powerful that is? Can we even fathom the majesty of the glory of God? But guess what? We can. Through Jesus Christ and the anointing of his Spirit, we can. The last thing David said in Psalm 29 is, may the Lord give strength to his people. May he bless his people with peace. And that is exactly what Jesus does. He's done it throughout history. And he does it today. We can know who's calling when he calls on us. And in turn, to be his voice to the world. Do you believe that? That he speaks through you and can speak through you and speak to others through you, just like he did with Peter and all the other disciples? Because God's desire is that all people come to Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. My sheep will hear my voice. I am calling you. Don't hang up the phone. Answer it. I encourage you, answer him. Allow the Lord to do amazing things through you as he releases you, as he speaks to you, as he uses you. There are so many people. I'm going to tell you about it in an announcement, some things that are going on. But there are so many people out there that are hurting and need our prayers. They need to hear that voice. And the only way they're going to hear it, folks, is through us who hear him. Don't hang up on the Lord. Allow his voice to ring out through you. Let him use you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you speak to us today, that you're willing and want to use us and speak through us, Lord God. Father, there's so many people searching. So, Father, I ask that you would use us and use the body of Christ throughout this community and throughout the world, Lord, that you would use us as your body to be your voice so that people can hear. Father, their hearts are burning for something and they can only hear it through us. So Lord, I ask that you would move by your Spirit in a wonderful, wonderful way through each of us as we carry out that call in our lives. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you anoint each person here with your presence, that you would use them, Lord God, in a mighty, mighty way. And we thank you And we give you the honor and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.